Amen. Let's go in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. There's a verse in there, verse 17. I think we know it well. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I'm going to give you some context for that and then give you some closing thoughts from that verse. Tonight and the next Sunday night, we want to look at just prayer. But let's starting at verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. And by the way, before I forget, it's good to have the Lomans here. So David is from that church up there, and the Lomans have come down, and Allison doing a lot of praying for her as the Lord has brought her through some things. The Lord allows us to have difficulties, but then he sees us through those difficulties. And so I know she wanted to just to enjoy the girls in the youth group. Tried to pray and care for her and reach out to her. And so she's come down to enjoy an evening service and to and just enjoy them for a little bit. So ladies, don't rush off after church tonight. Make sure you swing by and see them, and we'll see if we can get them up to the snack shop and enjoy some fellowship up there with them. But it's good to have them here. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 and 2, we'll read that first of all. But it says, of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Here we kind of see that you don't need me to remind you that Jesus could be back at any moment. And it could be that we sit here tonight thinking, I need it. I need to be reminded often, because it's so easy to live as though I've got nothing but time. And I shouldn't live that way. We like to sing in our songbook, Jesus is coming. You know, marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. Wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim. Mountain and meadow the same. All earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again. Standing before him at last, trials and trouble all past. Crowns at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Oh, but what a scary thought. What magazines do I want to clear off of that spot in my house? What things? No, I need to clear some stuff on my computer and my phone. No, I have to. He says, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. You know perfectly. And I think tonight maybe we should say, no. Some of us need reminded. I'm not living like he could be here at any moment. I need a reminder. Jesus is coming. His coming is likened to the coming of a thief in the night. That idea is there in Luke 12:39. We see that idea in 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. That's interesting, isn't it? If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Oh, the suddenness. And God says, as was prayed, the man prayed, oh Lord, help us to be sober, help us to be watchful, living as though he could be here at any moment. Later on in Revelation 16:15, Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. And maybe tonight that's enough preaching right there. Oh God, I'm not watching like I should. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. The Bible warns of the suddenness of Jesus' return, and therefore the need for careful watchfulness, the need to live ready. So this is that context. We're looking at that idea of why. Pray without ceasing. Okay. Why? Because Jesus could be here at any moment. Verse 5. Ye are all children of light. Well, if you're saved, I don't want to steal. Pastor Olson's going to come up here and kind of give the testimonies of these ones that are going to get baptized tonight. And boy, I want to just, it's so exciting when God cleanses your soul. And he transforms us from one of those people in John chapter 3 that love darkness rather than light, a life of hating the light. But when God transforms you, verse 5, ye are all children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night. We used to be. We used to love the darkness rather than light because our deeds were evil, but through blessed cleansing, he changed us. We are not of the night nor of darkness, therefore let us not sleep. I think the idea there would be, oh, help us not to settle in comfort, as though this is my home. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let's jump to verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on. So here it almost sounds like we skipped over to Ephesians chapter 6 with the armor of God. It almost like, whoa, did I just, what happened? Am I over in Ephesians 6? Be sober, putting on the breastplate. A continual putting on of the armor of God, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Oh, that breastplate, the armor of God. And by the way, prayer. Prayer is an important part of putting on the armor of God too, isn't it? Toward the end of the armor of God there in Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always. It's almost like he's saying, pray without ceasing. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Not too long ago, Dr. Vogelin preached a message on prayer in college chapel. I'd recommend to go and pull that up and listen slowly, taking notes and thoughtfully and prayerfully think through any lesson on prayer. We have 5 chapters in 1 Thessalonians. And every chapter near the end, it reminds us that Christ is coming. In chapter 1, verse 10, it says this, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We wait for our risen Lord. We think of salvation. In chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, for what is our hope or crown or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And then in the end of verse chapter 3, verse 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So not only we think of salvation, we await our risen Lord, but the context here is that of service, faithful service. When he comes, I want to be busy for him. After all, didn't he say, occupy till I come? In the end of chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The context here is the sorrow. The sorrow. Tomorrow, Pastor Olson will be preaching at that funeral. And what a joy it's going to be for him to say, hey, don't feel bad at all for Richard. Now, it hurts to be missing someone you care about, but for him, he's in great shape. I wrote this down. Boy, it's so much easier to cope when you have such blessed hope from God. And then this chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctify you wholly. So here we have the idea of sanctification. Jesus is coming. I want to be clean when he comes. I want to be clean. And since you don't know when that's going to be, the safe thing to do is, just to live a clean life all the time. Really, this chapter is, it's kind of like a shotgun. Just a bunch of things. Like, listen, Jesus is coming back. Here's a bunch of things to keep in mind. You know, just keep chewing on this. Come back to this passage. Reread it. Practice. Read it. And of course, in this context, we find that verse, pray without ceasing. We jump now to verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, in the light of the fact that Christ could be coming back, warn them that are unruly. There are some that aren't doing right. Warn them. Love them. Love the unruly back to where they should be. Comfort the feeble-minded. There's scripture there that means that you should be kinder to me. Right there. You're like, hey, some of you aren't very nice to me. That chapter and verse right there. Comfort the feeble-minded. Be nicer to me. No, here we even have the idea of, we don't know exactly, but possibly even some the special needs folks. I'm so glad that we have our special needs ministry and we comfort the folks and give them that love of Christ. Support the weak. Jesus is coming back. Support the weak. Didn't Christ do that when he was on earth? Study Christ. Be more like him. Jesus is coming back. Again, that passage, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Have you read how the Bible describes us? How are we going to hear good and faithful? There is none that doeth good, no, not one. But again, Peter described Christ to Cornelius there in Acts chapter 10. And he said, Jesus, he went about doing good. He's the good one. And then, of course, in Revelation 19, it says that there was one that came on a white horse. And it said he was faithful and true. He's the good one. He's the faithful one. And if you want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's going to be if you've allowed God to do his blessed work of conforming you into the image of the good and faithful one. Be patient toward all men. That's a good one. Sometimes believers aren't patient enough with each other. Sometimes we're not patient enough with the lost that are out there. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Did I slip into the book of Philippians? By the way, this is the shortest verse in the New Testament, in the Bible. I know it has 15 letters and Jesus wept only has 9. But in Greek, it's shorter. And then our verse 17, pray without ceasing. We'll come back to that. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, I feel like, again, we feel like we slipped into the book of Philippians. Philippians 4, 6 sounds very familiar with these verses where he says, be careful for nothing. That idea there is don't be anxious. Live a life of worry and anxiety. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Somebody said, kind of a three-point outline here. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And be thankful for anything God has given you. Be thankful. Boy, sometimes you ask a believer, how are you doing today? And you think, uh-oh, I asked the wrong person. And they're like, you got 30 minutes for me to start sharing my woes with you? At the end of the 30 minutes, we'll have to schedule another time, but 30 minutes will at least get us started. Or you have others that would say, hi, how are you doing? Way better than I deserve. Pastor Olson kind of going through some various lessons and not too long ago going through bitterness. Bitterness. The person that harbors feelings of resentment and hurt. I tell you, I don't think you can be grateful and bitter at the same time. Gratefulness will push the bitterness out, or bitterness will push the gratefulness out. That sorrow person that looks so miserable and you think, is there something between us? Did I hurt you? Please, just what is it? Why do you treat me like I'm the plague when I come around you? Say, oh, wouldn't you like to know? Yes. Yes, I would. Yeah, well, so that I would, if I could remember what it was I was upset about, then I would tell you. Uh-huh. And then you'd say, oh, maybe there's a misunderstanding or an oversight of some sort. And then you would ask my forgiveness, probably. Yeah, that's kind of how it might work. And then I'd be obligated to let go of my resentment. Yeah, wouldn't you like that? Start treating you like a fellow believer? I kind of would. I tell you that the sourest people are the ungrateful. As though God, you could stand to do better up there. And the happiest people in our church are those that just, they're so kind to one another because they're still blown away at how good God is to them. Worry about nothing. I kind of put down, avoid panic. Pray about everything. Have a life of avoiding panic. Have a life of always praying. And then be thankful. Have a life of always actively praising. God, you're so good to me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And let that spill over in your treatment of your fellow church member. Somebody said, what is the opposite of pride? And you think, well, opposite, grammatically, opposite would be antonym, right? Antonym of pride, probably humility. But then somebody said, very good, but what's the antidote to pride? Oh, what? So the antonym to pride would be humility, but what would be the antidote of pride? I think Romans 1 kind of tells us. There in Romans 1, It says, because God traces the fall of sinful man. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They said, he's God, but I don't feel like recognizing that. That goes all the way back to the devil, right? Is that what the devil did? The devil said, well, you're God, and I'm less impressed with you and more impressed with me. So there in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Pride set in, just like the devil. Neither were they humble. No, neither were they thankful. I think the antidote to pride there with Lucifer would have been, who am I? I didn't even exist. Everything I am, he gave me. He's everything. Oh, the antidote of pride. And pride will stop up the channels of God's blessing on our church, on our preaching conference. Oh, God, give us a grateful church. A grateful church. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Don't say no to his leading when there's a fire inside of you and the Holy Spirit says, this is what I want. Don't pour water on the fire of his leading. Quench not the Spirit. And then in Ephesians 4:30, it kind of gives us the opposite. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't say yes to your flesh when the Holy Spirit wants you to say no. Verse 20, despise not prophesyings. Of course, in the New Testament days, there were times of foretelling. Prophesying sometimes has an idea of foretelling the future, but there's also forthtelling of just preaching truth. Foretelling is no more. We have the complete word of God, but even forthtelling, the preaching, when God gives his word, despise them not. And despise is just like, not important. In the morning, if you have time to read your newspaper or the Bible, you're like, there's none of this. They don't equate. It's not like words, work, reading or reading. No. Reading God's word. Despise not prophesyings. Verse 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Again, that it shouldn't be that you let whatever into your life, right? You should be very careful not to let something into your life until you've tested it against God's word. So many people will let whatever, we're like Samson, get her for me, it pleaseth me well, get that for me. And somebody comes along and says, that doesn't belong in your life. And you say, tell me what's wrong with it. When it should have been you, should have long ago compared that to the word, and you should be telling me what's right with it. Before you ever let it into your life, you should have said, is this okay to allow into my life? Lord, you show me from your word. Not what's wrong with it, but what's right with it. Did you test it before you allowed it a place in your life? Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Boy, that verse tells us that God does care about what people see. Doesn't it? Do you see the same words I do? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Boy, the social media influencer that doesn't know the book or isn't saved yet, trying to pretend to be spiritual. Hey, you live and dress however you want. The person who judges is the one who is all messed up. The responsibility isn't on you to do right. It's on everyone else not to assume you're doing wrong just because you look like it. You're like, oh, I like the sound of that. Yeah, our flesh does. But the Bible still says, abstain from all appearance of evil. We come now to our verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. I'll give you my points for next week. I have 4 points for next week. I'll whet your appetite real fast. Next week, I want to look at the paradox of prayer. If it's so powerful and wonderful, why aren't believers doing more of it? I want to look at the pattern of prayer, study a little bit about the Lord Jesus and what we learn from prayer as we study his life. I want to look at the power of prayer next week. How important is it? And then the practice of prayer. What can I do to get better at praying? But for tonight, just real quickly, here we have pray without ceasing. As we think of those words, we think of the blessed access that we have to God. If he tells us to pray without ceasing, what does that mean? That we can have access to him 24/7. Isn't that something? If he commands us to pray without ceasing, he's obligating himself to be available always. Isn't that something? My children don't even have access to me that way. So last night, there was Alec. And, you know, it's late at night when he gets thoughts. He's like, Mom, Dad. And he's waxing eloquently. And, you know, we're like, you know, we're talking to him. And finally, it was like, Alec, we have church tomorrow. Go to bed. My children don't even have access to me that way. And the God of the universe has granted you and I access where we could talk to him always. Incessant prayer. God never says to leave me alone. I love you. I've had my fill of you for tonight. Isn't that something? He says, come on in. I'm so glad to see you. Stay as long as you like. Talk to me about anything you like. Tell me about your family. Let's talk about your friends. Let's talk about your work. Let's talk about church. Let's talk about your home. Let's talk about your neighbors. Tell me your troubles, your joys, your sorrows, your hopes, your fears, your sins, your shortcomings, your goals, your ambitions. Talk as long as you want. Seeing then, Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, the blessed access that we have. Second, oh, the blessed affection. What kind of love is that? Where he says, come and stay as long as you like. I love you. Pray without ceasing. For us, we think, oh, that's a tall order. Pray all the time. It sounds like a lot of work. Away with that. And think of how affectionate a God must be to say, hey, be in touch with me. Constant communication all the time. That's how much I love you. I want to help you. Romans 8:38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All the affection that's there in that verse. And lastly, all the acceptance. The acceptance we see in this verse. Prayer really is asking and receiving, isn't it? When we pray, we bring our concerns to Him and He wants to help us. We bring our needs and He wants to help us with those things. Yesterday, I was kind of talking to Alec and just said, Alec, I was just bringing up this idea, and I said, why, if prayer is so wonderful, why aren't people doing more of it? And kind of the first thing that came to his mind, he said, well, Dad, I think maybe they're playing with some sin. And it just doesn't feel right to step into God's presence with sin. And maybe a lot of Christians, maybe they have good intentions. I intend to take care of that and get clean at some point. Right now, I'm just enjoying this sin. And oh, it's awful. Sin, flirting with the things of this world. For the garbage of this world, we forsake the glory it is to have power with God in prayer. 1 John 3:22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Boy, it talked about living that clean life, living as though Christ could go back. Boy, if you lived like Christ could go back at any moment, God, I don't want to be playing. I don't want to be flirting with sin when you come. I don't want to be ashamed at your coming. I want to be clean. And oh, how wonderful it is when you're clean to step into the presence of that God who loves us so much. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. But oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials or temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows bear? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak or heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms, He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Jesus could be back at any moment. He could return. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. How did that start? But of the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. No. I need reminded. I need reminded to live in the light of His coming. He could be back. Keep your knee bent. Keep your sword sharp. Keep your eye on the sky. He could be back at any moment. Pray without ceasing. Lord, I do pray that you be with our time of invitation. Lord, thank you for these that are going to be baptized tonight. Lord, oh God up in heaven, you saved their souls. And tonight they come as a public testimony of what you did for them. Thank you, as Brother O'Hare prayed. Thank you for saving my soul. Oh God up in heaven, someday I want to go from person to person. I want to hear the salvation testimony of everyone. How beautiful it is that you save the lost. Oh Lord, help us to be living in the light of your coming. And even these words, pray without ceasing. Lord, you can be back at any moment. Help us to live like it, not flirting, not playing with sin. As the offertory was played, nothing between my soul and the Savior. I want to be busy serving Him. I want to be clean. I want to be sanctified. I want to be praying. Oh God, help us to be ready, watching, and waiting. Oh, thank you tonight, Lord. We have no business apart from what the Lord Jesus did for us, stepping into your presence and asking for things. But how blessed it is that we can come boldly before the throne of grace because of what Jesus did for us, taking his sin, our sin upon him, he being sinless. Oh, thank you, God. But forgive us, Lord, for not taking advantage more of how precious prayer is, the access that we have. Forgive us, God. I pray you be with this time of invitation. Help us as a church. And as was prayed, Lord, we're looking forward to your word being delivered with great power, not just to the church corporately, but to each one of us individually as well. I need something from you. Oh, speak to us. Prepare our hearts. Allow us, Lord, to be bringing that right soil, not thorny, not rocky, not hardened down into a pathway, but soft, rich soil. Oh, God, do a work in our hearts that it might be that we come with that right heart, ready to receive your word as it is preached. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.